Virgil Crook, Sunday PM, April 25th, 2010.
Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll read verses 24 through 27. It's a portion of Scripture that you heard read and expounded many times from this pulpit. I've lost count how many times Brother Doug uses this portion of Scripture, and Brother Norton also has used it on many occasions, as his brother Freestone. But it's a wonderful portion of Scripture. So I don't have any hesitation about going over what has been gone over, because I know that we need constantly to be reminded about the Word of God and what God's purpose is. Do you not know that those who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, and thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So our question tonight is, this is the ninth question, if you're keeping track. Our question is, do you not know that those who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? We're going to consider very quickly and briefly the whole chapter, just as sort of an overview. And as I was reading this chapter, I was thinking, what is one word that could be used to sort of sum up in one word what Paul is saying here, and especially the verses that we just read, one word. And the one word that constantly came to me was focused. Focused. Because the subject that we're going to consider here is running a race. Paul uses often in his writings illustrations about sports or about athletes. I don't know that they used the word sports in his day, but there were athletes in his day. And especially in racing, you need to be focused. I was thinking that Ryan, not that Ryan, but our grandson, Craig's oldest boy, when he first began to play soccer, I don't remember how old he was, but he was fairly good. But I remember one of the games I went and watched, he was running up and down the field, but he wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to the game. He'd be running down the field, and he'd run this way, kind of looking off, you know, see who's there. I don't know what, you know, he wasn't focused. Now, I know Ryan, and he can be focused. I've seen him untangle tangled fishing lines, balls of string, and whatever, and that boy is focused on that task, but he wasn't focused on playing soccer. And as we go through the rest of the lesson here, keep that in mind. The need for you and I as children of God to be focused on what we should be focused on. It's so easy to get in a rut and to just do things by habit, not thinking what we're doing. And that's where accidents come from, isn't it? Those of you that drive a car, you know how to drive a car. You know everything you're supposed to do, and you're driving down. But you have an accident. Why? Is it because you forgot how to drive? No. Is it because you aren't a good driver? Nah. But there was a distraction of some sort, and that's what causes accidents. On the job, in our Christian walk. So our question is, don't you know that those who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? Now, a question always comes to me when I read this scripture and hear it read. That Paul was writing to the Corinthians. And what were the Corinthians? Those carnal saints. So I always have the question, why would Paul write to these carnal saints about such a heavenly and spiritual topic as running the race to win Christ? He writes to the Philippians about winning Christ. The Philippians, we can understand, they were spiritual. They were mature saints. They were lovers of the race. We understand. But a question always comes to me. Why did he write this to the Corinthians? They were allowing unimportant things of this life to distract them from what really matters for a child of God, and that is winning Christ. There are a lot of good things, a lot of wonderful things, and there's a lot of things that aren't so wonderful also. Of course, you realize that. But as Christians, as children of God, what matters the most, or should matter the most to us, is to win Christ. So let's look back to the beginning of the chapter and try to do this very quickly and briefly, just to get an idea of what the chapter is about. Now, in this chapter, Paul is defending his apostleship, and he puts himself forth as an example of serving Christ and as an example of self-denial. Let's read the first two verses. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not my works in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. He was the apostle to the Gentile. There's no doubt about that. And writing to these saints of all saints. Now maybe, I can understand maybe some of the other groups don't accept me as their apostle, but you? I am your apostle. You are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. Then skipping down to verse 8, we'll read verses 8 through 12. Do I say these things as a mere man, or does not the law say the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about here, Paul says? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? And Paul gives us the answer. For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who plows should plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Those of us who are truly apostles, Paul is saying. Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endured all things lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Then we'll skip down to verse 18. He is establishing his apostleship and defending it, telling that he did not use it as a means of gain. What is my reward then? That when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. Notice how Paul is putting himself forth here as an example. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might be the more, win the more. And to the Jews I become a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under the law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I'm weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. This is an overview of what Paul was writing in this chapter. And then the very last thing that he says, I don't want to be disqualified after putting myself forth as an example, after saying all of these things. So, again, I come back to the word focused. Being an apostle was not just a business or a career with Paul. Now, we call him the Apostle Paul, and he was. And, if I would ask you what your career is, you would tell me. Each of us have a special thing that we focused in on as a career. Being an apostle was not just his job. How often do people, that's my job. Yeah, that's my job. It was not something he did as a hobby, and it wasn't a pastime. It's very evident as you study Paul's epistles that he was very serious, because he, like Moses, and I'm going to quote here from Hebrews 11, 25, and 26, he, like Moses, chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Why? For he looked to the reward. He looked to the reward. Paul establishes here in this chapter his apostleship, his work, what he did on this earth. But he's also very careful to say that he didn't do it for the monetary gain. He did it not for monetary gain, but he served Christ. He didn't serve Christ for gain. He didn't expect to get paid in this life, although as we've seen, he explains that he had that right. He looked for something better. He was striving for a crown which no man, nor organization, nor government, nor anyone else could have given him here. He was in a race to win something far beyond anything life could offer. Therefore, Paul says, dear Corinthian saints, don't you know? Don't you have this knowledge? And has that knowledge not been impressed on your mind and heart? Are you really aware of this truth? Does it mean anything to you? Does it influence you? Has it dawned on you what it means? Do you realize it? Do you comprehend it? Is it practical in your life? You can win Christ. You can win Christ. So, shape up. Get serious. Run like you mean it. Run to win. Do you not know that those who run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So what should that mean to you? Run in such a way that you might obtain it. The Amplified says, so run your race that you may lay hold of it, of the prize, and make it yours. It's possible to know and understand a doctrine or a teaching, be very familiar with it, and yet at the same time not make it yours. That happens to many of God's people. They you talk to them and they use the right terms and the right, they say the right things, and they know the doctrine, it seems like they know the teaching, but have they made it theirs? Yes, we understand about this teaching, about this particular part of what we believe, but is it ours? Do you or would you want to win Christ if you were the only one that was doing it? God's people do a lot of things that they do because that's what people are doing. That's what other Christians are doing. Weymouth translates it this way: you must run in order to win with certainty, or perhaps it'd be easier to understand, you must run with certainty that you may win. Don't you know that only one can win the race? Now, obviously, Paul doesn't mean here one person. Out of this congregation, there's only one of us that's going to win. I don't know who that is. Only one of us. No, that's not what he means. But he means that there is an excellence here and a focus that needs to be understood to be able to be among those who win. Not one winner, but one company who is winner. Now, Paul's teachings are very clear here and everywhere else in his epistles that we will not all have the same place. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know, but I do want to emphasize that to understand why we must run the race. Now, for everybody to have the same place, that sounds good. It sounds fair, it sounds right, sounds democratic. Sounds very gracious. Really, it does, doesn't it? We're all going to have the same place in heaven, you know. Can't we just all get along? We're all going to be, you know, there's going to be one big happy family. And it will be a big happy family. Don't get me wrong. It will be a big happy family. But not everyone will have the same place. Now, we might think, as many do, surely God's grace will give all of God's children the same place in God's economy. Yes, indeed, that certainly would be true. That is the what? What did we hear this morning? Provision. That is the provision. But there's also the other P word. Practical. Practice. Yes, God's grace is sufficient to make all of us all the same and all have the highest glory in heaven. Well, that would be true if all yielded to that grace in the fullest measure. But they don't, and they won't. In any contest, only one can be the winner. Whatever that contest is, Paul uses here the athlete, and we'll kind of stick with that theme, but only one can be the winner. Now, in sports, there are certain sports where you can tie. But even then, when it comes down to the real nitty-gritty, in soccer, you can have ties all the time, except in the World Cup. Now, when the World Cup comes along, there aren't any ties. Somebody has to win. Now, we use the term sometimes, I don't know how familiar you are with sports, but a close second. A close second. But a close second is still second. Getting beat by 1 point is still defeat, and it's not a win. They only beat us by 1 point, but they beat. They won. There's only 1 point. Or in track, we go to tenths of seconds. So-and-so was 1/10 of a second faster than the other so-and-so, whoever it was. But he won. And then you can comfort yourself by saying, well, we only got beat by 1 point. But you still didn't win. Run, Paul says. Run, that you might win. It's not enough just to say, well, I ran a good race. Brother Doug has mentioned from time to time that we play basketball in the gym, the old against the young. I don't know why we do that, but it's fun. The old against the young. And how many times have we, after the game, went and sit down in our rocking chairs, say, well, we almost beat them. Almost. Almost. I don't want to get to heaven and brag about almost winning. I was close. Because God in His grace and His mercy has set the way for me to win. We just finished the Olympics not too long ago, which is a good example. And in each event, there were three prestigious medals given: gold, silver, and bronze. Now, to me, it's amazing just to be in the Olympics, huh? Just to be there as an athlete, as a competitor. I've never made it. I don't know why. Well, yes, I do know why. We'll explain that a little bit later. But here you go, gold, silver, and bronze. Now, after each event, you've watched the Olympics, each stood on a podium with their respective medals hung around their necks, and each had a little bitty ceremony when the official comes and hangs it on. But the gold medalist, for some reason, has a higher podium. He has a higher podium, and he gets to listen to his own national anthem being played. Now, that's an emotional moment, isn't it? The other two did not. They won medals. They have a silver or a gold, but they didn't win. They didn't win. The medal, the crown, the trophy is not given until all has been finished. And whatever the sport or competition is, there's a time of competition. And then when everything is done, then the trophy or the crown or whatever is given. In the Olympics, for instance, there are several heats. They call them heats. especially in the Summer Olympics. But there are heats or rounds, and these must be completed until they get down to the final few. The final few, all the rest have been eliminated. Also, March Madness is a good example of what Paul is talking about here. It begins with 64 teams, but only one of those 64 teams will be national champ. This year, Kansas was a favorite of almost everyone, but they didn't make it. The NBA is in progress now, and they have a little saying, which is very true, win or go home. And that's true. If you don't win, you're going to go home. Now, the coaches will use this phrase quite often to sort of console their players. You've heard it probably. It's not whether you win or lose, because they lost. It's how you play the game. How encouraging that is. I've heard that a lot of times. I know that in my heart. It's not whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game. Well, that may be a good philosophy in high school games, but winning Christ is not a game. So that does not apply. That does not apply. Yes, in a sense, it is true. It does matter how you run. But it also matters that you win. Run that you win. You're not going to be able to console yourself through eternity with that phrase. Yeah, it wasn't, you know, about winning or losing, just running good. No, it is not. You run to win. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Let that be your focus. Your everyday life is about winning Christ. So many of God's people who have heard this message, we term it different things, a bridal message or whatever name you want to stick to it, and having heard it, they feel that they're a shoe-in. And I think that was very true this year with March Madness. Everybody picked Kansas to win the NCAA tournament. Everybody. I mean, why even have the tournament? Let's just give them the trophy and be over with it. But after all the games were played, they were nowhere to be found. Instead of being in Indianapolis for the championship game, they were home in Lawrence, Kansas, watching it on TV. Now, I say that because I believe a lot of God's people have that same attitude. They think that they're already there. I have heard people say in my lifetime that they were in the bride, that they'd already won the race. Well, hey, the race isn't over. How can you say that you won the race? Let's turn to Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. Because not even Paul said, I won the race. Not at this time anyway, when he wrote to the Philippians. Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. And Paul isn't a rookie here. He isn't a beginning Christian. He has walked with the Lord for some time. He has served the Lord faithfully for quite some time. And then he says, not that I have already attained. Not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on. But I press on. In spite of all failures, in spite of all detours that we might go through, in spite of all of the opposition of the enemy, we must stay focused. I press on. I press on. How many times have you come to that place in your life? I have. I have to admit it. That I have sort of wondered, well, I don't know, you know. But the Lord encourages my heart to press on. I've failed many times, and in those failures, I thought, well, can I still win Christ? Yes. I press on. that I may lay hold of that I might make it my own, for which Christ also laid hold of me, and that was to win Christ. Brethren, I don't count myself to have already apprehended. Again, he says, I'm not there, but one thing I do, I stay focused, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, what is ahead? Brother Norton, in his prayer, was kind of discouraging. All the things he said were going on, and I have to agree with him, and it's only going to get worse. No, that's not what we're looking at. What's still ahead? Winning Christ. The goal is still ahead. And we may go through some dark times. They'll probably turn off the stadium lights before we get over it, before we finish this. Because this world is getting darker and darker. I mean, it was dark to begin with. And as we go on, it's going to get even darker. But the prize is still ahead. The goal is still ahead. And Paul says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, we understand what the situation is, thank God, through the Word of God. And we understand that the world that we're living in is getting darker and darker, and it's getting more and more evil, and is going to continue to do that. And if we focus on that, we're going to become discouraged. But there is still the goal towards which we press. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Now, to win and to be a champion, a person must be dedicated and determined. Dedicated and determined. I do not mind being called fanatic. It doesn't bother me one bit. I want to be a fanatic, because I see in the Word of God that that's the only way I'm going to win. Those of you that watch the Olympics and watch other sports, did you notice the determination on the faces of those Olympians? As they begin their race, whatever it was, the camera would focus in on them. And how did they look? They're kind of looking like this. No, they were focused. Because they had one thing in mind. One thing in mind. I don't mean this literally, but that should be the way that we look all the time. Because we're focused. We should be focused as God's children. Now, and you've heard the testimonies that these Olympians give. How many of them have given a report similar to this? They say, I've dreamed and worked for this ever since I was 10 or 12 or whatever. It's been my lifelong dream to stand here and be in this place. Many of them, that's how they got there. Before they had any ability even to do what they did, they wanted to do it. I have no ability to win Christ. Never did have. But my heart has been touched. I have seen through the revelation of the Word what the possibilities are. These athletes in their field of expertise have seen what the possibilities are. And they set their sights on it. And to get there, they gave up parties, they gave up social gatherings, relationships, and many other things that the teenagers and young adults engage in simply to be an Olympian. And isn't that great? They get a medal. They get some press. They get some fame. And then they get old. But hey, they think it's worth it. Have you had a vision of what God is offering you? It's a whole lot better than a gold medal. It's a whole lot better than having your name in the paper. It's a whole lot better than being famous for a while. I think we'll end with this quote by a becoming famous young man by the name of Tim Tebow. Now, those of you that know anything about sports know that the Broncos drafted a certain man. His name is Tim Tebow. You'll probably hear about him later. I don't know how things will go. But I was reading a little bit about him in the newspaper this morning, and among the things that he said that he had a saying on his, I don't know what you call it, a saying on posted on his bedroom wall. Says, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And that's sort of impressive. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. In the world of sports, a lot of people have real talent. I mean, they are talented. And so they don't need to practice a whole lot. I could give you some names, but anyway, I'm not going to do that. And there's others that don't really have a whole lot of talent. But man, do they have work ethics. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And as I said before, none of us have any talent in this area. None of us are capable of winning Christ. And the hard work here is not gritting your teeth and going after it, but it's simply allowing the Lord to work in your life. And be focused. I started with focused, I'll end with focus, and we still have one more lesson to focus on. But may the Lord help us to understand that there is a race to run. Do you not know that those that run in a race, they all run, but only one wins? I'm glad to be able to call myself a Christian, a child of God. And there are a lot of Christians, there are a lot of children of God throughout the world. But I don't want to just be among the children of God. I want to win the race. The Lord has shown me that there is a place that's far above all other places, and He's put that desire in my heart. It's not that we have kind of worked this thing up and figured it out, but God has put that desire in our heart. And if He has put that desire in your heart tonight, He will enable you to do it. Let's stand and worship the Lord tonight. The elders, as always, are open.